Hi, everybody. Welcome to part number 4 of the Our Covenant God study. Last week, we looked at Abraham's first 3 encounters with God. This week, we are going to look at his 4th encounter with God. But before we go there, let's have a look at last week's homework. Homework question number 1. In Abraham's first encounter with the Lord God, what did the Lord ask Abraham to do? God asked Abraham to leave his country, leave his family, leave his father's household, and to go to a land that God would show him. And what did God promise to do for Abraham? Well, first of all, God promised Abraham that he would have children. Because he told Abraham, "I will make of you a great nation." God promised to bless Abraham and to make his name great. But not only did God say that he would bless Abraham, but he also said that he would cause Abraham to be a blessing to all families of the whole earth. And as Christians, we see that that has been fulfilled through Jesus, because Jesus came from Abraham. He was a physical descendant of Abraham, and through Jesus, every single family on this earth is blessed. Question number 3 dealt with whether or not Abraham ever spoke to God, if he ever answered God. I think it would be very reasonable to assume that Abraham did speak to God, because the Bible does tell us that he built altars, and at those altars he worshipped God. Speech is a big part of worshipping God, whether it be in song or whether it be in straightforward speech. Words would be part of worshipping God. However, the author of Genesis, who is Moses, Moses wrote the book of Genesis, did not record anything that Abraham said up to this point. This does seem to be significant, and how it is significant is actually something that we will cover in part number 4 of the study. That question was just one of those questions to make people think, to look deeper than the text, to see what is hidden. Now, question number 4 said, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. What do you think Abraham was feeling each time that God spoke to him? Well, for myself, I look at it and I say, well, Abraham's experience was that prior to his first encounter with God, it appears that he was a moon worshipper. And so there he was, worshipping a moon who never spoke to him. And so what a shock to the system when your God actually speaks. And so I'm pretty sure that it must have overwhelmed Abraham. And yet at the same time, it must have been so exciting to realize that your God is actually alive. Because all of those false gods that people worshipped in those days were all dead. They were made out of stones, or they were made out of trees. Or they were objects of nature that people worshipped. They had no life. They had no ability to give you direction. And suddenly Abraham's in a situation where he's relating to a God who's actually alive, who actually speaks, and who's able to give him direction, to make requests of him, and to make him promises in return. That was completely contrary to anything that Abraham had experienced up to that time. And so it had to be overwhelming, awe-inspiring, invigorating, challenging, just a whole bunch of things all at the same time. And for that same God who's actually alive to make you the awesome promises that God promised Abraham, wow. Wow. That had to give him joy. That had to give him a sense of purpose. It completely changed his life. Now, today we're going to be looking at Abraham's 4th encounter with the Lord. we can read about this encounter in Genesis 15. Altogether, Abraham actually had 7 personal encounters with God. 7 speaks of completion. Now, the middle of 7, the middle number, would be the number 4. And this encounter that we're looking at today is encounter number 4. It is the center point. It's the focus. It's the most important. It's like the mountain peak. 3 steps up, the top peak is number 4. 3 steps down, at 7 altogether. And indeed, this is the encounter which really is the most important, because this encounter with God, number 4, is where God cut covenant with Abraham. It's actually very interesting when you start noticing the numbers and you start to notice even the way that writers set things out. What words do they repeat? What words don't they repeat? And there's often a pattern in the writing. To analyze the Bible, especially Genesis. Genesis is wonderful to sit and analyze it just from a literary point of view. There's a lot that is actually hidden, many clues that are hidden in just the way that the author wrote. So now let's have a look at the text. Genesis 15 verse 1 in the New King James Version, and all the scriptures I read are usually from the New King James Version. It says this: after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." You know, God never said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a shield." No, he said, "I am your shield. I am your shield. You are protected." Why? Because I am your shield. You see, you're never protected because you've got a shield. You are protected when you've got a shield and you hold it close to your body. If you don't hold it close to your body, it doesn't protect you. Now, in those days, they actually had full body shields that covered them from top to toe. And so what God was saying was, "I am your shield. Keep me close to you, and I will protect you, and I will fight your battles for you. I will be your strength, and you can hide in me. If anyone attacks you, they're really attacking me. Your battles are mine. So put me on as your full armor. And when you go into battle, I'm going to be the one fighting for you." Then, when God said that he was Abraham's exceedingly great reward, what he was saying is, "I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you me. I am your reward. Everything that I am, I'm giving to you. Everything that I've got, I'm giving to you. I'm not holding anything back. I'm holy, so I'm giving you my holiness. I am righteous, so I am giving you my righteousness. I'm giving you my life. I am promising, pledging to lay it down on your behalf if you will accept this covenant and enter into it with me." Is that awesome or what? In Genesis 15 verse 2 to 6, this is the first time we actually see Abraham answering God back. Let's have a look at it. It says, "But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' And what does God say in return? Nothing. He keeps silent. And so Abram speaks again. It says, 'Then Abram said, Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. As we said before, this is the first time we see Abraham actually answering God back. We mentioned earlier that maybe he did speak to God previously. In fact, it would be safe to assume that he probably did when he was worshiping. But there was a reason why the author did not record any of his previous dialogue with God. Because this is very important. It's very important. I think the author wanted us to see that Abraham's trust in God had grown. It had grown a tremendous amount, and that their relationship was now about to reach a new level of intimacy, one that it had not been to before. And you can see that even when Abraham speaks and God does not answer his first question, he remains silent, which makes Abraham speak again. And when Abraham speaks again, he expands on his request. Now, God being quiet for a minute was not indifference. It's not that he didn't care. It seems instead that it was God's way of drawing Abraham out and encouraging him to speak his mind openly and honestly to the Lord. See, Abraham had never fathered a child. He was a wealthy man. He had so much that he wanted to share with his own son. We also know that Abraham seemed to be a very kind and fatherly, loving type of man. And we see that when we look at even his relationship with his nephew Lot. He seems to have a fatherly type of relationship even with Eliezer of Damascus, who is probably his servant. And so he would make a wonderful father. And so here we see Abraham presenting God with his strongest desire, and that was to father a son. God's response was to then promise Abraham that he would indeed father a son, and he would have countless descendants.